Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and good evening. The MSS crew is back, and we are thanking you for joining us here in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. Today's date is Saturday, January 30th, 2016, and this is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you yet another exciting and exhilarating internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Well, folks, as promised, we are back, and we are hooking you up with that OTR that you love best. And we're adding a little surprise twist to it. Without any further delays, please allow me to introduce the presenter for this week's program. And, you know, it just so happens to be kind of anniversary-ish for Mr. Daniel Vigil. Yep, that Texas cowboy has been operating with us bandits for, you know, going on now, I think, 2-3 years now. So, if he wants to tell you anything about that, I will let him do the talking and not hog up the limelight. If everyone could just please sit back, grab your favorite drinks and snacks, and enjoy the program. Because that six-shooter Dan has got something down the pipe for you. Dan, the microphone is yours.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the listening audience. Welcome to the last Saturday in January of 2016.
What a year.
On this anniversary edition.
What a time.
Of Michael's Saturday Surprise.
What a place.
It was on January 26th, 2013, that I gave my first ever presentation in this very venue.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Michael's Saturday Surprise. I'm Daniel Vigil.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank those who come in and continue to listen whenever my name appears on the MSS calendar. Remember that you, and only you, are the reason that I continue to do this. Tonight, in order to honor the occasion, I have selected two shows which have nothing in common, as far as I am aware, than the fact that I like them. As an example, here's an episode of Gunsmoke, entitled The Big Con, originally broadcast on May 16th,
1953. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Trouble could start any time in Dodge. But usually it was at night that the men made their play along Front Street, and so ordinarily I was up a good part of the night and did my sleeping in the morning. It was a rare thing for me to be out in the early day, and for some reason it worried Chester.
I just don't understand why you couldn't sleep, Mr. Dillon, unless you had the colic or something.
I feel fine, Chester. Just got a few things to take care of at the bank, that's all.
Yes, I know, but the bank's open all day.
Well, you know what they always say, Chester. It's the early bird that catches the worm.
Yeah. My ma used to tell us that one about being healthy, wealthy, and wise. She used to root us out of bed every morning at daylight on account of it.
It's a good saying.
Yeah, I don't know whatever become of my brothers, but I'm sure not living in a very big house.
Well, maybe you ought to come in here more often.
I got no business with the bank, Mr. Dillon. Well, morning, Mr. Fogg.
Morning, Chester. Morning, Mr. Dillon.
Morning, Fogg. I'll be over there in a minute as soon as I straighten this stuff out.
Good morning, Marshal.
Good morning, Mr. Papp.
You taking money out, Marshal, or putting it in?
Neither, Mr. Papp. This is government business.
Oh, I see. Who are those men, Marshal?
What?
I say, who are those men?
I never saw them before.
That one in the middle holding the envelope, he seems pretty excited about something.
Certainly, sir. What can I do for you?
I want a loan of money immediately.
Well, we'll do what we can, sir. First of all, how much do you want?
$20,000.
Mr. Papp.
Yes?
Yeah, excuse me, Marshal. Gentlemen, this is our president. You'll have to talk with him.
I heard you say $20,000, gentlemen. That's a lot of money.
What do you have for collateral?
My collateral, sir, is right here in this envelope. You may look at it, but don't reveal it to these other gentlemen.
These playing
cards. Don't name them.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Well, I've been in a poker game at the Texas Trail all night long. Right now, there's about $40,000 in that pot. There are some good hands out. I've put every cent I had into it already. Now, they've given me just 20 minutes to come up with more money.
Well, I certainly wish you luck, sir, but I never
You've
heard of...
You've seen my hand in that envelope. You can lend me the money on that.
But surely, sir, you don't expect the bank to enter a gambling game.
Now, these gentlemen are also in the game. They came along to see that those cards aren't changed. The other men are watching the table at the Texas Trail. It's all fair and square, I assure you.
Well, gentlemen,
I'll gladly pay you 10% interest, sir.
You've only got 5 minutes left, Hook.
Come along, gentlemen. We'll step in the back office.
Well, now that's about the craziest thing I ever did here.
He must have a pretty good hand, Chester.
I know, sir, but you don't think Mr. Papp's going to let him have $20,000 on it?
It certainly looks that way. Yeah, there we are. I'll take care of this and we'll get out of here. This is government stuff, Fogg. You know what to do with it.
Certainly, Mr. Dillon. Now, let me see you.
Marshal, I want you to come with me.
What?
These gentlemen, there's a poker game, and I've got the money here. I think you'd better come along just to be safe.
You mean you gave him his $20,000, Mr. Cook?
Yes, of course. Now, come over here, Marshal, I'll tell you.
All right.
And Marshal, that man Hook there has 4 aces and a 10 in his hand. It's a sure thing. Why, the bank stands to make $2,000 on this loan, and it won't take but a few minutes.
You run the bank, Mr. Papp, but are you sure you ought to take a gamble with other people's money this way?
I can't lose. There's not a chance in a million. But I want you to protect this money till I get it back here.
Well, all right. I'll see nobody takes it at the point of a gun if you think that'll help.
Good, good. Now, you come along, then. Hook's only got a few minutes to get back in the game.
There's my money, Mr. Shaneways. I'm calling you, sir.
You must have a pretty good hand, Hook. All the trouble you've been to.
You will see it. What have you got?
5 little hearts, all blue.
I win, sir, 4 aces.
But look at my hearts. They read 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Straight flush. Your aces lose, Hook.
Aces? Aces, how could he have a straight flush?
Got it dealt right out of the deck, Hook. Right out of the deck. Ah, nice pot. Had enough,
but he won.
Mr. Papp. Sir, I don't know what to say.
$20,000. Just like that, $20,000. It's not even my money.
Now, Mr. Papp, don't you worry, sir. I only borrowed that money. You'll have it back. You have my word as a Confederate gentleman on that.
Hook, please. Hook, I've got to have it back. It's not my money. I have to put it back in the bank. I'll be ruined if people find out
about
it.
You only loaned the money, sir. I lost it. Now, I'll send for it today, sir. I'll wire my agents. They'll have it on the next Santa Fe that leaves St. Louis.
No, Hook. No, I don't think that'll happen.
My word as a gentleman, sir. But you must be patient.
I shouldn't have done it.
I had no right to do it.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
Go tell Doc I want to see him.
Yes, Mr. Dillon.
All right. Everybody. Now listen to me. All of you. Now, I don't want a word said about this to anyone. The bank's important to Dodge, and this could ruin it. Do you understand?
We have no reason to spread.
All right, then, see to it. Or there'll be trouble for all of you.
Well, certainly, Mark. There's no reason to spread. We all understand.
Mr. Papp, hold up a minute, will you? Mr. Papp?
Marshal, I should have listened to you. I'm ruined now.
Now, look, Mr. Papp. Maybe Hook's got money, I don't know. But if not, we'll figure something out. People will give you time.
No. No, they won't. As soon as they hear about this, there won't be any bank. They won't trust it anymore.
But they have to. It's the only bank there is.
What'll Joanne think? My kids. I can't face it, Marshal. I just can't face it.
Now, look, you just go back to the bank and tell the cashier to keep his mouth shut about this. You just got to give it time.
Sure, Marshal. I'll go.
I'll go.
Marshal. Marshal, sir.
I am sorry for that man, but he has no reason to worry. I'll send for the money at once. Yeah, you do that, Mr. Hook. Send for the money. Gentlemen, what are your names?
My name's Shaneways, Marshal. Now, I'm sorry for that banker, but it's nothing to do with me. I won this money fair, and I'm keeping it.
Sure, Mr. Shaneways, of course you are. Who are you, Mr.?
Warden. And I agree with Shaneways. Gambling money's fair money.
Nobody is arguing that, Mr. Varden. But remember, gentlemen, what I said. Don't talk about this.
Oh, well, hey, Matt. Chester said you wanted me. What's happened? Didn't hear any shooting.
Everything's all right, Doc.
Oh, well, that's it. Oh, you look familiar. Don't you?
I haven't had the pleasure, sir.
Oh, well, maybe not. No, I guess not. My mistake.
Never mind, Doc. Come on.
Yeah. Chester said he'd wait at the office, Matt.
Look, Doc, I want you to go over to the bank. Mr. Papp is pretty upset. See what you can do for him, huh? Give him a bromide or something.
Sure, Matt. What's wrong with him, anyway?
He just lost $20,000 in a poker game.
He lost $20,000.
And he wasn't playing. He lent the money on the strength of what looked like a good hand. That man Hook came into the bank for it with the other two.
Oh. He brought his cards along and raised the loan that way, huh?
What? How did you know?
Oh, I heard of it once, Matt. It was down in New Orleans. Oh, that was years ago.
Well, what happened?
Well, same thing. Fella got the money and he lost it. That's all.
You mean it was fixed between him and the others?
Oh, sure, it was fixed all right.
Well, how did they find out?
Well, the fellow that borrowed the money got drunk and he talked and they put him in jail, but the others got away clean.
Look, Doc, that gray-haired man you thought you recognized, his name's Hook. Are you sure you never saw him before?
Oh, a lot of people look familiar at first glance, man. You know how it is.
Look, in New Orleans, you didn't know the men who pulled the trick on the bank, did you?
Well, people said that they'd come down on the riverboat. I was doctor on the Tennessee Belle then, but I never met them, not to my knowledge, anyway.
You recall hearing their names?
Well, that was a long time ago, Matt.
Look, Doc, those three back there may have just pulled the same thing now. Hook looked familiar to you. Maybe he remembers you, too.
Well, he just said he'd never met
Doc,
me, Matt.
Doc, he could be lying.
Oh, sure, but I can't place him. I probably never saw him before.
Well, go see what you can do for Pep. He's in pretty bad shape.
Well, sure, Matt.
Gamblers were always drifting in and out of Dodge. Some of them were crooked and some, It had been said we're honest. Ordinarily, it didn't matter much one way or the other. Most men could take care of themselves. But now the bank was involved. And the citizens of Dodge had their faith in that bank, as well as their money. I gave it a lot of thought the next hour or so, and finally I had an idea that seemed like a start, anyway. I explained it to Chester, and together we went back to the Texas Trail. Shane Williams and Varden were idly cutting cars, and Hook was at the bar talking to Kitty.
Hello, Matt.
Kitty. Chester.
Hi, Miss Kitty.
Do you know Mr. Hook? This is Marshall Dillon.
We met earlier, Kitty.
Why, yes, indeed.
This morning?
I must have smelled trouble, Kitty. I got up early.
You're always smelling trouble, Matt.
Yeah. Leave your beer, Hook, and come with me.
What for?
Just do it.
Whatever you say, Marshal. Miss Kitty, I'll be back.
Yeah, sure.
All right, Varden, Shaneways, get up and follow Chester.
What? Is this an arrest?
Now, what would I be arresting you for, Mr. Shaneways?
What? Nothing. You've no reason.
That's right. All right, come on, let's go.
Just follow her along, please.
All right. What is the idea of bringing us in here, Marshal?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. What can I... Oh, hello, Marshal. Chester.
Hello, Lum.
Lum, these men want their pictures taken.
Oh, no, not me. I don't. I've got plenty of pictures.
Can you do it right away, Lum?
No, certainly can, Marshal. And, gentlemen, you'll be the very first to stand before a new drop. The ancient temples of Greece. It'll lend you dignity, power.
What's the idea of this, Marshal?
Lum's just going to take your pictures, that's all. Oh, Lum, front and side views both, huh?
Oh, certainly, Marshal, certainly.
And then, gentlemen, if you leave Dodge, any of you, it'll make it a lot easier for the law to find you and bring you back wherever you go.
This is outrageous. I won't stand for it.
Wait, Varden, wait a minute. I agree the marshal is being a little high-handed, but after all, he must protect himself in his job. But since we've done nothing wrong, we have nothing to fear.
Sure. Hook's right, Wolf Varden.
I'll go first. Are you ready, Lum?
No, right this way, sir.
Chester, you stay here and wait for the pictures. Bring them over when they're finished.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon. A pretty good photographer, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, these aren't bad. Lock them up in the safe, will you, Chester?
All right. You think this will keep them in Dodge, sir?
No, not if they really get scared.
They're guilty, all right, aren't they, Mr. Dillon?
And I can't prove a thing, Chester, one way or the other.
Mac! Oh, Matt. Bad news.
What, Doc?
Well, Mrs. Papp sent for me a little while ago. I just come from there.
Oh?
Matt, he killed himself. Suicide.
Papp?
About an hour ago. Why, that poor man.
How's Mrs. Papp taking it?
Not a tear so far, but I suppose she'll break down later. Neighbor woman's there with her.
Yeah. Does she know why he did it, Doc?
Well, it seems he told her all about it, and then he went out and he shot himself.
And there's no stopping it now. Story will be all over town in no time.
Well, what are you going to do now, Matt?
I don't know, Doc. I just don't know.
We will return with the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first... Today's opportunity knocks twice for qualified women. For the younger woman, the career of nursing offers opportunity unlimited. Ask how you can enroll as a student nurse at any hospital at the nurse's registry desk. And for the older woman, there are many thousands of openings in practical nursing. Graduate nurses or practical nurses will find expanding career opportunities for years to come. Act immediately. Serve humanity and provide for your own secure future. Now the second act of Gunsmoke.
Buy you a drink, Kitty.
Gosh, I'd like it, Matt, but I just said I'd join Hook over at his table.
Well, I'd like to talk to him, too. I'll just sit with you for a few minutes.
That's fine with me. I don't know about him, though.
I don't think he would object. I just have time for a smoke, Mr. Hook. I didn't think you'd mind.
Why, no, of course not. You're quite welcome, Marshal. May I buy you a drink?
No, thank you.
Marshal, I want you to know I sent for that money today, just as I promised.
Oh? You're a little late.
Late?
Mr. Papp shot himself.
He did?
You mean Mr. Papp, the banker?
Yeah.
But why, Matt? He was always seemed so quiet-like.
Maybe Mr. Hook will explain it, Kitty.
Well, now, Marshal, you can't hold me responsible in any way at all.
I didn't say I could, Hook. But you seem kind of nervous about it.
Why, naturally, I'm upset. After all, that man did me a great favor.
Yeah, sure. But I don't think the people in Dodge are going to like it much when they find out. Tell me something, Mr. Hook. When were you in New Orleans last?
New Orleans?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why do you ask that, Marshal?
Just curious.
Well, sir, I've never been in New Orleans. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it's good enough. For now. Goodbye, Kitty. I'll drop by later.
Sure, Matt.
And, Mr. Hook, it still goes about not leaving town.
I like it here, Marshal.
Yeah. Yeah, you should. Maybe I should have arrested Hook and his friends without any evidence and just seized the $20,000 and put it back where it belonged. That might have saved people's faith in the bank, but I figured my job was to give them faith in the law, and I couldn't do it that way. I'd made it plain to Hook what I suspected, and I hoped it'd scare him into making a mistake. And it did. But I didn't learn about it until next morning when I was having breakfast at the Dodge House.
Mr. Dillon?
What?
I've been looking everywhere for you. It's your room, Delmonico's, the Texas Trail, everywhere. This is the last place I hit.
Well, what is it, Chester?
Here. Look here. Just you read that.
Marshal, we're taking Doc along. If you follow us, we'll kill him. Where'd you get this, Chester?
It was under the door when I opened up this morning. I ran up to Doc's right away, and sure enough, Mr. Dillon, he's gone.
Come on. Go check the depot and the stage line, Chester. I'll cover the livery stables.
All right, sir.
That'll take me longer, so you get our horses ready. I'll meet you at the office, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's the marshal. You're out early today.
Not early enough, Andy.
Eh? What can I do for
you? I want to know if you rented out any horses last night.
Well, sure, a few. Why?
Did you rent four to anybody, four in a bunch?
Why, yes, I sure did. Be back today, so they said.
Who said?
Well, strangers to me. Paid me in advance, though. The greenhorn.
What time was this, Andy?
Oh, it was late. Yeah, it was way after midnight, it was. Something wrong?
Yeah. Tell me, Andy, what did they look like?
Well, one was an old fellow, gray hair. Didn't give me his name, though. I don't think I got much of a look at the other one.
You have any idea which trail they took out of town?
Why, no, I don't. One of them said something about St. Louis. But that's not much help, is it?
It might be. Oh, thanks, Andy.
Oh, one thing, Marshal.
Yeah?
If you're riding after them, those horses they got are just crowbaits. I didn't figure they could handle anything better.
There was nothing to do but take a chance and ride east. Luck was with us, though, and within an hour we cut their trail. Four horses leave a pretty fair track. And we followed it, riding hard. By dusk, we could tell by their sign that we'd nearly caught up with them. And soon after dark, we spotted their fire. These were gentlemen, maybe, but they were mighty poor hands on the prairie. We left our horses and went ahead on foot.
We gonna shoot it out with them, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, we can't chance it, Chester. They'd kill Doc.
Yeah.
Now, hold up a minute. Now, that's their horses just ahead.
Huh. They sure staked them a good piece from camp.
Yeah. Lie down, Chester.
What'll we do, Mr. Dillon?
I just wait. Those men are mighty green at this game. I think we can steal their horses without any trouble at all.
Just leave them afoot, huh?
Yeah. Now look, Chester, when we get those horses, I want you to pick up ours and take the whole bunch out of sight. I'm going to crawl into that tall grass just to the left of the fire there and hide until morning.
Mr. Dillon, why can't I go with you? Every time we get in trouble, you always send me off alone somewhere. You always do everything alone.
Do as I tell you, Chester.
Yes, sir.
You just wait till you hear gunfire, and then ride in fast and bring all the horses.
All right. Good luck.
By dawn next morning, I was half burrowed into the ground and covered by blue-stem grass, not more than 30 feet from their camp. I could hear their talk all right, but I couldn't see them unless they were on their feet. Shaneways had already gone out after the horses. Pretty soon he was back.
With their ropes, that's what every last one of them.
What'll we do now? You and Shaneways go after them. I'll stay here and guard Doc. Now hurry up, we've got to get moving.
Come on, Bardner, we'll never find them.
I'm coming. I don't want you to. You can have this country, Doc. I don't know why you ever left that soft berth you had on the Tennessee Belle.
Well, I didn't have to leave it. That's more than you can say about New Orleans.
More talk like that, you get your throat slashed like a fat shoat, Doc.
Oh, spoken like a true gentleman, Hook. Or whatever your name is.
Now, if you hadn't talked so much in the first place, you wouldn't be where you are now.
Oh, you're a fool, Hook. I might have seen you somewhere, but I sure couldn't connect you with that New Orleans business. Anyway, you're giving yourself away now.
Yes, Hal.
Don't you know there wasn't a thing the law could do until you ran? Oh, you'll be caught now for sure, yeah.
Oh, I doubt it.
Why don't you untie my hands? I can't eat this way.
You'll manage.
I let Hook and Doc wrangle on till I figured the other two men had walked about a half a mile from camp. Then I waited till Hook had his back to me, and I stood up slowly, moved quietly forward. Doc saw me and almost spoiled the game, but he caught himself in time and then started another argument with Hook. I was about 15 feet away when Doc suddenly kicked the coffee pot off the fire and all over Hook's legs. Then I moved.
Oh! Hit him again, Matt. He can stand it.
No. No, that's enough.
All right, get up, Hook.
Oh, Marshal, easy now. Don't shoot.
Get Doc untied and be quick about it.
Yes, get me untied and be quick about it. Oh, that feels better. Oh, Hook, if I weren't a professional man, I'd punch you right in the eye.
Never mind, Doc. Here, put his gun in your belt.
Yeah, I'm just mad enough. I'd like to have an excuse to use this. Matt, what are you doing?
You'll see.
Matt! You'll have them back here in no time.
I got a surprise for Hook, but he's not going to like it much.
Huh?
Oh, where they got the money, Doc?
He in that saddlebag, right over there, the yellow.
All right, get it, will you, quick.
Hurry up. Them two didn't get very far away.
All right, Doc, if you got the money, get up on the horse. You too, Hook. Come on, quick now.
Come on. Look, yonder they come. You see
him,
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, I see
him. They're shooting at us. Well, I'll fix that.
All right, hold it, Chester. They can't hit us from there. Come on, let's ride.
You just gonna ride off and leave them, Mac?
Well, we got you, Doc, and we got Hook, and we got the money.
Oh, but they'll die out here, Marshal. Because none of us know how to live on this prairie.
Well, maybe they'll learn. It's a good way.
You're murdering those men.
Well, they'll be all right for a few days, Hook. You'll all meet in prison. All right, ease up.
Hold.
Wait, Black.
Well, what do you plan to do about this?
They're full of fight right now, that's all. I don't want to have to kill them to take them. But in a few days, they'll be so hungry and scared, we can walk right up to them. Nobody will get hurt that way. Neither them or us.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
Mr. Dillon, later, in a couple of days, let me come back and bring them in.
What?
Just me this time, alone.
Well, now, Chester,
please, Mr. Dillon.
Okay, Chester. You can do it. Alone.
Thank you, sir. All right, Hook. Ride a little faster there. We ain't got all day.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was especially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Harry Bartell, Ralph Moody, James Nusser, Joe Cranston, Paul Dubov, and Peter Leeds. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Gunsmoke is heard by our troops overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. This Monday night on the Lux Radio Theater, June Allison recreates her original screen role and appears as the Girl in White. Don't miss the Lux Radio Theater this Monday night on most of these same CBS radio stations. George Walsh speaking. America now wakes up to 3 million clock radios and listens most to the CBS Radio Network.
Broadcast on May 16th, 1953, that was The Big Con, an episode of Gunsmoke. Now, let us turn to an OTR show, well calculated to keep you in suspense. This was broadcast on March 10th, 1949, and it's called 3 O'Clock.
Now, Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations present...
Suspense. Tonight, Autolite brings you Van Heflin in Cornell Woolrich's famous 3 O'Clock, a suspense play produced and directed by Anton M. Leder.
Friends, get in step. Give your car a rep for PEP. Replace those narrow gap spark plugs with wide gap Autolite resistor spark plugs. Your car will idle smoother, smooth as silk and satin. Give you tip-top power and performance on leaner gas mixtures. Actually save gas dollars. That's right, actually save gas dollars. Autolite regular type spark plugs have long been standard factory equipment on many leading makes of cars and trucks. And now six, that's right, six of these leading makers of cars and trucks have switched to Autolite resistor-type spark plugs for factory installation on their new 1949 models. The new Autolite resistor spark plugs are the spark plugs of today and the future. Remember, you're right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite presents Van Heflin in a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Francie signed her own death warrant. She signed her own death warrant, didn't she? You're a good husband to her, and yet she's two-timing you with another man, isn't she? And you made up your mind weeks ago to kill her, didn't you? Well, now, at the last second, what are you waiting for? You've got everything down here you need to do the job. That box near the wall filled with explosive, two copper wires already capped, this alarm clock, what's holding you back? Memories of your honeymoon? She's two-timing you with another man. Weigh that in your hand. All right, then, get to work. First, set the alarm. When she gets back from shopping around 2:30, you better set it for 3 o'clock. Good. Now then, wind it up. Now then, put the cap into the wires, into the little holes you drilled in the box. Oh, no, wait. That explosive's kind of tricky, temperamental. Don't touch that box any more than you have to. First, attach the wire to the alarm clock. I wonder why more people haven't thought of this. Probably wouldn't know how to go about it if they did. There. Now the cap into the wires, into the box. Careful now, careful. There it is. Check it over now. You don't want any slip-ups. At 3 o'clock, the alarm goes off. It sets up a spark. The spark runs along the wires to the detonators in the box, and that's all there is to it. Well, then don't just stand here. Get back downtown to the shop. All right. What are you doing in my house? Hey, Duke, somebody is home.
That'll hold him a couple of seconds.
Shouldn't have been standing there. Must have been down the cellar all the time we was here.
You said you cased this place for 3 days. Get me something to tie him up and let's
no.
go.
No. Don't tie me up. Don't tie me.
Flag him again. Again. Okay. At the cellar down there?
Yeah.
See if there's any rope around.
Coil a rope on a shelf down here. I'll get it.
No, we'll carry him down and tie him up there.
No, don't tie me up. This house is...
Shut up, you... Oh. See if he has a handkerchief. Roll it up in a ball.
Listen to me. This house is...
All right, shove it in his mouth. Shove it in. Oof. Take off his belt and buckle it between his teeth, too. Fast. Okay.
What's he putting up such a fight about? This place is a lemon. Nothing in it.
Take his leg.
Okay.
I did my last stretch just on account of leaving a guy in the open where he could put a squad car in my tail too quick. Okay, dump me here. Now, give me that rope. I'll hold him.
Hey, what's he putting up such a fight about? Look, mister, we ain't going to hurt you. Just leave you here in the cellar. He still ain't convinced. I can't figure him.
Okay, that does it. All right, I'll tie him to this pipe. Otherwise, somebody's liable to come home right after we leave and hear him thrashing around. These houses are like matchboxes.
I wonder what he's trying to say. Don't leave me tied up down here. I will call the cops, I swear. This place is going to blow up, don't you understand? Explode. This house is going to explode.
Who cares what he's trying to say? Let's go. We'll pull another job tonight.
Hey.
This time I'll do the picking.
Well, it looked like a good setup, standing way off like it is. Mm-hmm. Hey, mister, will you relax? You'll never get out of them nuts. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's he so bug-eyed about? Mm-hmm. What is it, mister? This alarm clock mm-hmm. over here? Mm-hmm. What do you care what time it is? You ain't going anyplace. Hey, should we take the clock, Duke?
Nah, couldn't raise a buffalo nickel on it. Quarter to two. Let's go. We got work to do.
Right. Come back. Don't leave me here. This house explodes at 3 o'clock. Listen to me. It blows up in an hour and a quarter. Come back.
All set. Let's take the back way.
Gone. They're gone. The only people in the world who know where I am. I've got to get out.
For Suspense, Autolite is bringing you Van Heflin in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Look Here, Holloway, can you help me with my income tax?
Why, I'm just the guy. Here, just fill in form W-1066, IOU, RSVP, your telephone number, and ALRSP.
ALRSP? Autolite resistor spark plug. Harlow, why, they ought to jail you for this. After all, I...
Hey, do you and your income tax reports want to look good?
Well...
Then save, Hap, my boy. Save gas, for instance. Replace your old narrow-gap spark plugs with wide-gap Autolite resistor spark plugs. They make your car idle smoother, give you better performance on leaner gas mixtures. Actually save gas dollars.
Harlow, with me all tied up in taxes and internal revenue, you...
For internal revenue for your engine, switch to wide-gap Autolite resistor spark plugs. They're ignition engineered by Autolite to meet the highest standards of automotive engineers, to give you smoother idling, more mileage for your dollar.
I'm worried.
Ah, you don't have to worry, Hap. Why, with wide-gap Autolite resistor spark plugs, you even cut down spark plug interference with radio and television reception. Remember, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Van Heflin as Paul in 3 o'clock. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
I can't get out. Nobody knows I'm here. 56, 57, 58, 59. 12 minutes to two. It goes so fast, that second hand goes so fast. 5, 6, 7. Less than 72 minutes. Help me. Somebody help me. Help me. Help me. Two. Only 71 minutes. Not even that now. 3, 4, 5, 6. Francie, come home and get me out of this. I love you. I can't help being jealous, can I? I'm sorry I tried to tell you. It's because I love you so much. I'm jealous. But you deserve it. You deserve to die for what you've done to me. Can't you imagine how I felt that day last month when I came home?
That you, Paul? Paul, you're home so early. Are you sick? Another one of your headaches?
Oh, I feel fine, honest.
Why are you home so early?
Well, I don't know. I just got lonely for you, and I said to myself, well, you're the boss, old boy. It's your watch repair shop. Now, if you want to close ahead of time, who's to say no? Come on, hold still a second. Your lipstick is smeary.
It is? Well, I was lying down. I guess
well, it's all right. Now, come on, pucker up. Well, you're smeared again.
Well, I'll fix it. As long as you're home early, why don't you rest a while? The morning paper's still in the den.
I guess so. Well, I had a heavy lunch, pot roast and potatoes and apple pie. And what'd you do today, honey?
Oh, the usual. Cleaned the house, went marketing. Wish we could afford a car. I mean, isolated the way we are, walking 8 feet.
I sat down on the couch, and there it was in the ashtray on the end table. A cigar butt, still moist on one end, still warm on the other. Any visitors today?
What'd you say?
I said, any visitors today?
No. None. Not even a peddler.
You're a liar, Francie. You lied to me that time. 42, 43, 44, 45. No clock has ever gone this fast. Of all the thousands I've looked at and set right in my shop, not one has ever gone so fast. Its quarter hours go around like minutes, and its minutes like seconds. 3 minutes to two. That's cheating me. It's not keeping the right time. That second hand's whirling like a pinwheel. Make it stop, somebody. When the clock says three, the house explodes. Make it... Oh, somebody's at the door. Come in, please. Please come in and find me and let me out of here. Please.
Gas company.
The one call in all the day's routine from the earliest morning till latest night that can possibly bring anyone down here to the cellar.
Anybody home in there? Gas company. Anybody home?
I am. I'm down here. Don't wait for somebody to answer the door. It's not locked. Come in. Please. He's gone. No. He's coming around to the back.
Why don't we go in and read the meter anyway, even if nobody's home?
Yes.
Company policy.
We never go into Edenby's unless somebody's home. And sure, they're never home when you want them to be.
But I am home. I am. I'm right down here. I can see your legs through the window. All you have to do is to bend down and look in, and you'll see me. No, don't go away. Stay. I'll kill you if you go, so help me, I'll kill you. No, I didn't mean that. Please stay. Look at the time. 1 minute past two. 59 minutes left. Not even an hour now. 59 minutes left. 8, 9, 10, 11. How long 59 minutes seems when you're waiting for someone. Like the night that I waited for Francie to come home from a movie, and she was late. The night Francie was late coming home from a movie. Yes, in a pig's eye she was at a movie. She was with her boyfriend.
Well, sure, I was worried. What did you think? You said you'd be home before 11, and here it is almost midnight. I was about to call the hospitals and the police.
Oh, Paul, I'm sorry. Really, I am. All those short subjects, and then the bus was late. I'm sorry you worried.
Oh, forget about it. How was the movie?
It was all right. Nice Western.
Oh, a Western? I thought you were going to see Three Musketeers.
I changed my mind. I saw Red River instead.
Well, I didn't know that was playing in the neighborhood.
Well, I went downtown. I thought as long as I'm out of the house, I might as well do a little shopping.
Well, these stores were open tonight?
No, I... Did I say shopping? I meant window shopping.
Oh. Well, what was the movie about?
You know, Western. A lot of shooting and riding.
Right. How was Gary Cooper's performance?
Oh, good. I've always liked him.
No, I didn't mean Cooper. Cooper's not in. I meant John Wayne.
Oh, was that John Wayne? You know, they all look alike to me. Those big hats.
That was the night that she signed her own death warrant. Little things put the official seal on it, like the cigar butt in the living room, like the gasoline drippings on the street in front of our house, and we don't even own a car. And it wasn't a delivery truck either, because the drippings showed that it stood there a long time, an hour or more. And like the time last week when... The time. 12 minutes after two? No. Oh, no, that can't be. It was just 2 o'clock. It can't be that late already. 12 minutes past two... Only 48 minutes and... less than 48 minutes. It's 47, 56, 55, 54. Look at that second hand. Francie. She's in the kitchen. She's putting down her parcels. How can I make her hear me? There must be some way. And now she's at the hall closet. She must be hanging up her coat. Oh, Francie, thank you so much for coming home early. I love you so, and I need you. How could I ever have thought of hurting you? I must have been crazy, but I'm not now. Back to the kitchen. Why doesn't she come down here to look for something? She might stay up there all afternoon, lie down. She might wash her hair. She might stay up there till it's time to get supper ready. What if she does, there's no supper, no Francie, no me. Francie, come down here. I know that you can't hear me, but come down here, please. Please, come down here.
Hello? Yes, Dave. I just got in this minute. Oh, Dave, I'm all upset. I have $11 table money in the kitchen, and it's gone. The wristwatch Paul gave me is gone, too. We must have been robbed.
She knows we've been robbed. I should get the police now, and they'll search the whole place, and they'll look down here.
Well, I'll look again, but I know it's gone. Paul will have a fit.
No, I won't, honest.
No, I haven't reported it yet. We have to be so careful.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
I called Paul at the shop while I was out, and there was no answer. I hope nothing's wrong.
Can't you guess there's something wrong if I'm not in the shop?
But maybe you'd better come out. Okay, goodbye.
Yeah, that's good. Sure, come on. If I go, both of you go with me. What time is it? Oh, no. It can't be 19 past two. Only 41 minutes left. 33, 34, 35, 36. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Okay, I go there. Stop it and think. Think fast. Think like you did last week when you came home and she threw her arms around you and hugged you and, well, that little liar...
Hi, Paulie.
Hello.
No kiss?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Oh, what's the matter? Hard day? So hard you can't even force a smile? I'll make you smile. I'll make you laugh. Kiss you, kiss you. Come on, smile. Smile.
Stop tickling. Wait, cut it out.
What's this in your pocket?
Francie, don't.
A present for me?
Yeah, I said don't. Give me that.
All right. You don't have to grab. What is it?
Well, it's fertilizer. That's what it is.
Fertilizer?
Yeah, a sample package. I figured maybe we'd start a little garden in the back. A few flowers, maybe.
Oh, well, that's a nice idea. That's just what I'll do.
Yeah, well, I'll keep it down in the cellar. The fella gave it to me, said that it should be kept in a cool, dry place. I'll buy the seed just as soon as you make up your mind what you want. Fertilizer. She never even suspected that it was an explosive. I brought other things home last week, too. Every day, something else. Some more sample packages of fertilizer, which I carefully packed into a soapbox that I had in the cellar. And copper wire and dry cell batteries. And this clock. And she never suspected a thing. She was so flustered trying to cover up the fact that she had a caller that I could have brought in a grandfather's clock under my arm, and she probably wouldn't even have noticed. Oh, but, Francie, that doesn't matter now. If you'll just come on downstairs. He's here. Her boyfriend's here.
Hello, Dave.
Well, did it turn up yet?
No, I haven't heard anything from Paul either.
The police will think I did it, I suppose.
Well, don't say anything like that. Come on into the kitchen. Coffee's ready.
What are they going to do? Just sit there? Don't they know that it's 28 minutes to 3? Only minutes left now. Minutes, not even a full half hour anymore.
Don't you think we ought to tell Paul about us?
I don't know. How will he take it?
Paul isn't narrow-minded. Well, we can't keep on like this. It's better to go to him ourselves and tell him about you than wait till he finds out. He's liable to think something else entirely.
What's he talking about?
I know he didn't believe me that night when I helped you find the furnace room and told him I'd been to a movie. I'm so nervous and upset all the time. I feel as guilty as if I were one of those disloyal wives or something.
Oh, didn't you ever tell him about me at all?
I told him you'd been in one or two little scrapes, but I let him think I'd lost track of you and I didn't know where you were anymore.
Well, that was her brother she said that about.
I'm gumming things up for you, all right. An escaped convict for a brother.
Oh, Francie, I didn't know. Why didn't you tell me it was your brother? Why didn't you tell me?
Let's go downtown and talk it over with Paul.
No, stay here. Don't go downtown. Stay here.
You shouldn't be seen with me. You can get into trouble yourself. Telephone Paul to come here instead.
Yes, stay here with me. Please, stay.
I'm not afraid.
What can I do? What can I do? This pipe leads upstairs. Hit it with something. With what, though? What? My head.
What was that?
What? I didn't hear anything.
I thought I heard a noise in the cellar.
Yes, you did. You did. It's me. It's me.
Want me to take a look?
Yes.
No, I guess I was wrong. Let's go, Dave.
Francie! Come down here, look. Only 22 minutes left. Francie! Mama, it's gained another minute. Help me, Mama.
Be careful what you're doing, Bobby.
Huh? Oh, that's a kid bouncing his ball against the house. Yeah, it's a little kid.
Bobby, come away from that cell.
Oh, no, 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 let him stay. Stay there, Bobby, don't move.
Did you hear what I said, Bobby?
Bobby, just turn your head this way and you'll see me. A little more, Bobby, that's it. He's looking right at me, but he doesn't see me. Don't you see me turning my head from side to side, back and forth? He sees me.
Bobby, what are you doing?
Mommy, look.
Does he understand what he sees? Oh, if he were only just a few years older, a child of 7 or 8 could understand that.
Bobby, are you coming? I'm waiting.
Stay where you are, Bobby. Make her come to you.
Did you hear what I said? When I call you, I want you to come to me.
Mommy, look. Funny man.
Why, Mommy can't peek into strange people's houses. Come on, dear.
Funny man.
tied up.
Yes, yes. Well, say goodbye to the funny man tied up.
Bye-bye, funny man tied up. Bye-bye, funny man tied up.
Let it blow up. What do I care? No, no, no. How much time is left? 10 minutes? Well, someone could come down here now, or even 6 minutes from now, or seven. I could still escape. 42, 43, 44. The clocks are beginning to look like people, like Mama. Oh, my head hurts. Mama, I'm sorry for what I've done. Paul's sorry. He won't do it again, honest. Just let him go this time and not punish him. He's learned his lesson. He'll never do it again. Poor Paul. Poor Paul.
Oh, that must be Francie. It must have found the shop closed, trying to find out if I came back here while she was gone. When no one answers, will that tell her that something's wrong? Why should she think I'm stretched out down here in the cellar if I don't answer the phone?
Bye-bye, Francie. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Tick-tock. Bye-bye. Tick-tock. 7 minutes to 3. In 7 minutes, the alarm goes off. 7 minutes to 3, the alarm rings for me. That's a poem, Francie. It's a funny poem. 7. Please let time stand still. 7. Now it's 6. What a precious number, 6. Round, so comfortable. Let it be 6 forever, not 5 or 4, but 6 for all eternity. Let time stand still at 6. Oh, and it's 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 4. 4. Bye-bye, 5. Paulie says bye-bye, 5.
Good morning, Paulie, dear. Good morning. Wake up, sleepyhead. Wake up. Do you know what time it is?
No. What time is it?
Take your head out from under the pillow and see for yourself.
All right. It's exactly 1 minute to 3. 1 minute to 3. Oh, I was dreaming. 1 minute to 3. Not even a minute. Barely 50 seconds. 50 seconds to go. 50 seconds to live. Help me, Mama. Help me. Francie. Paulie needs help. He dies in 40 seconds. 39, 38, 37. He's not a bad little boy. He always means well, so help him. Help, little Paul. Mama. Mama, where are you? Quick, I haven't got much time. I have 20 seconds. 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Just a couple more questions.
All right. All right, officer.
You say when you came in, he was all tied up and this alarm clock here was ringing.
Yes.
I say.
Nancy?
Yeah, Doc.
Dead. With our favor.
Paul!
I'm sorry. Now, look, just one more thing in this box. There was some wires going to it from the clock, and I pulled them out. Do you know what was in it?
This box?
Yeah.
Nothing. It used to have some fertilizer in it, but I took it out this morning and used it. I've been trying to raise flowers in the back of the house. Paul loves flowers.
Thank you, Van Heflin, for a splendid performance.
Hello, about my income tax report.
Oh, forget it, Hap, and be happy. Ask for those mighty marvels, those gas and money savers, those ignition-engineered Autolite resistor spark plugs. They're made by the Autolite men who make over 400 products for cars, trucks, airplanes, and boats in 28 Autolite plants from coast to coast. Autolite also makes complete electrical systems for many makes of America's finest cars. Batteries, spark plugs, generators, starting motors, coils, distributors. All ignition engineered to fit together perfectly, work together perfectly, because they're a perfect team. So, folks, don't accept electrical parts that are supposed to be as good. Ask for and insist on Autolite original factory parts at your neighborhood service station, car dealer, garage, or repair shop. Remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, here again is Van Heflin.
First, I'd like to say that it's always great fun and a lot of work to appear on Suspense. And second, come on out here, Tony. That's right, come on out. Ladies and gentlemen, Radio Mirror Magazine has asked me to call Tony Leader, the producer-director of Suspense, down out of his glass cage up there for a very special reason.
What's it all about, Van?
Tony, I'd like you to meet Miss Ann Daggett, Western editor of Radio Mirror Magazine.
How do you do?
How do you do, Mr. Leader? As a Suspense fan of long standing, I am very happy to have the privilege of presenting to you this scroll. It is in recognition of the fact that Suspense has been chosen radio's outstanding mystery show by Radio Mirror Magazine, which will be on the newsstands tomorrow.
Well, that's wonderful. And on behalf of our writers and our actors and musicians, Lud Bleskin in particular, and technicians without whom Suspense couldn't even begin to suspend you, I want to say thank you very much.
Well, my congratulations to Tony, and I'll be tuned in next week to hear Gregory Peck in Murder Through the Looking Glass, another gripping study in
Suspense.
Van Heflin appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the Technicolor picture Little Women, starring June Allison, Peter Lawford, Margaret O'Brien, and Elizabeth Taylor. Tonight's Suspense play was written by Cornell Woolrich and adapted by Walter Newman. Music was composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. Remember, next Thursday, hear Gregory Peck in Murder Through the Looking Glass.
You can buy Autolite electrical parts, Autolite resistor spark plugs, Autolite staple batteries at your neighborhood Autolite dealer. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
Here's great news. Suspense on television may be seen in many parts of the country every Tuesday night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Broadcast on March 10th, 1949. Entitled, 3 o'clock. That was an episode of Suspense. If after listening to that program, you need to know what time it is, I am here to tell you. It's time to close the broadcast doors of Daniel's Den, bring in Luis, and put the final wrappings on tonight's official MSS presentation. Mr. Announcer Man Luis, come hither and do thy thing.
Okay, Dan, you relax and take it easy, and let's oil up those chambers. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time again when I have to wrap things up and shut things down for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. But don't worry, as always, we will be back again next week with another OTR surprise locked and loaded, ready to released on the internet airwaves. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please address them to the MSS director. He can be found at mikeameli@earthlink.net. That's MIKEAMELI@earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. Just remember, be nice to one another. Otherwise, you might have a Texas Ranger coming on after you. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.